I want to talk this morning to you about the tower of fatherhood and what it means within the structure of the army of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My fellow soldier, you and I have a mission from God. And I'm here to tell you that if the structures, if the twin towers fail, if they fall, then Christianity will also crumble. For you see, several thousand years ago, God ordained that the bottom structure would be that of the father and that of a mother. I believe we're in a major crisis today because fathers have allowed the world to hit them, has allowed Satan to hit them, and has allowed weaknesses within the internal structure to also cause problems. You'll have to forgive me, but as an ex-soldier turned to a cop on the Houston Police Department for 5 years, 3 of those years I was a homicide crime scene investigator. So due to my training, I approach Scripture much as I would a crime scene. And I wish this morning that you will look at it new and afresh. There's been a crime committed. Let's look and see if we can find the clues to the solution of this crime. First of all, the very subject of who it was addressed to. When I read the Word of God, I ask myself, who is this written to? There are some things within the Word of God that is written to the tower of motherhood. There are other things that are written in the Word of God that is written to children. The passage that we read this morning is written to those of us who call ourselves fathers. And for anyone out there who hopes someday to be a father. Can you think about that word with me just for a moment? Father. A while ago when your student president led in prayer, he started the way Jesus taught us to start. I believe that Father is the most popular name of God. When the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. God the Son said, when you address the eternal God, you call Him Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Do you realize the responsibility that you and I carry as men, as fathers, to uphold the name of Father? It is true. Every church I've pastored, I have informed the secretary that I've had that if my wife calls or my children calls, regardless of who's in my office, regardless of who I'm on the phone with, you put them through. Because you see, that's biblical. When I get on my knees and I cry out to God, dearly beloved, there is no one that can preempt that prayer. No one. Fathers, if you'll put children first in your ministry, there'll be some people in your church fellowship that'll be offended. I had a lady one time in our church, we first moved to Alaska, and we were there and excited about what God was doing. One of my daughters came home and said, Daddy, I can't say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I said, what? Yeah, one of the Sunday school teachers said, I can't say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. I said, what teacher was that? And she told me. I had a meeting. In the sweetest way that I know how, I said, Ma'am, would you like to continue to teach Sunday school at First Baptist Church, Kenai, Alaska? Well, yes, yes. I said, well, then my daughter will be allowed to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. For you see, that's what I've taught her. And you see, I take the education of my children seriously, and I do not leave it to the church. And the church will supplement what I won't taught. This is not only a pastor-church relationship. This is a father-daughter relationship. She says, well, I consider that to be demeaning. I says, well, as long as you teach at First Baptist Church of Kenai, consider yourself demeaned. I thought it was tactful. Maybe that explains why she doesn't go there anymore. I don't know. But you see, I had another lady one time that I had promised my daughter something that she could do, and this lady come in there and says, well, that just didn't fit with my plans. And I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry. I want your daughter to do this. I said, well, I know you do, but I want my daughter to do this. Oh, she got frustrated. She said, well, boy, the devil has sure got his hands in this. I said, yes, ma'am, she has. You see, folks, I will play with a lot of things. I will not play with the stakes of my family. I will not play with the stakes of my relationship with my wife. Because you see, how I treat my wife is a reflection on fatherhood. Because I'm raising children that are looking to me and they want to know, hey, what is this marriage thing all about? I've told my sons and daughters, I want my sons to be just like me. Folks, that's not arrogance, that's biblical. Paul said, be imitators of me. We've got a bunch of mealy-mouthed people today walking around saying, don't look at me, don't look at me, don't follow me, you might stumble. Well, folks, I come from a military that appoints a man. Hey, you're point man. You walk out there and you lead the rest of us and you look for dangers. And that man leads through the jungles of warfare and you put your foot where he puts his. It's called point man. You as a father, you are a point man. And as so goes you, so goes your family. You protect that relationship. Personally, I'm kind of fed up with pastors that run off with secretaries and all of these other things. Personally, I think they ought to be shot at sunrise. You know, God forgive them. They may go to heaven, but go ahead and let them go. I've come to the point in my ministry, I will counsel a woman twice. One time I give her a book called The Heart of the Problem, and the next time I counsel with her is to see if she read the book. If she read the book, she doesn't need me anymore. Because men, you can't counsel a woman over a period of time without becoming emotionally involved. I've got the woman I'm emotionally involved with. I don't need another one. And y'all didn't take that the way I meant it. I tell people all the time, the best thing that ever happened to me apart from my relationship with Jesus Christ is my relationship to a lady by the name of Mary Jo Keithley Nichols. When God called me into the ministry, she knew before I did. I hate it when that happens. When God called me to Alaska, she was excited about it. She wasn't one of these that says, well, I can't go there. That's too far from Mama. Man, I want to tell you something. When you're looking for a wife, don't look for someone that wants to be involved in missions. Look for someone who wants to be involved with you. And if she loves you the way God wants her to love, she'll go anywhere you go. Got called to Alaska, and we were kind of planning everything, She said, well, honey, let's go to Seattle and let's stay a couple of days and the next day we'll kind of drive on up to Alaska. Well, you know, she's seen these maps all her life with Alaska off the coast of California. And so I was kind of hesitant, and I said, honey, when we leave Mineral Wells, Texas, and we drive to Calgary, Canada, we're not even halfway there yet. But you know what? She never balked. And we went up there in view of a call. I said, if you can't give them 10 years, tell me, and I won't come. If I was to leave Alaska now, it'd be harder on her than me. She's given her heart and life there. But this issue of fatherhood, please understand, men, we carry God's favorite name. Being a father. So that's who it's addressed to. Then let's go back and they say, what's it talking about? What's this crime scene telling us? It's talking to fathers, but it's talking to fathers about children. About children. You know what, beloved? You don't love children the way God loves children. Some of the most mean, sarcastic comments I got about having children were from church members. I broke them from asking me, you know what causes that? Because I embarrassed them. I told them I did. Yeah. And I described it and said, well, yeah, this is what happens. And them WMU ladies, God bless them, they don't ask that anymore. But you see, it's about, you know, the Bible says that children are a blessing, children are a heritage from God. You don't think children are a blessing. I guarantee you, if I was to take a $100 bill out of my pocket and lay it down here, I'd say, whoever wants this can have it. Don't get excited. I'm not going to do that. But if I did, there would be a fight to see who got down here. I know I've been in this environment. Poor as church mice. I understand. You see, we think money's a blessing. We think all these other things are blessed. Listen, you give me money, I'll take every dime you want to give me. Won't turn down a single dollar. You say, well, Brother Dean, isn't there enough? Is enough? No. Because you probably don't know how to spend it as good as I do. So I'll take it, and if I run out enough, I know Dr. Patterson can find a place for it. I say, I've got some extra here. And I have a deep feeling in my heart. He wouldn't turn it down either. But children, listen to me. A father shouldn't pass up the opportunity for another child because they're a blessing. Some of you are living in sin right now because you think, well, I'm going to control my family. Well, excuse me, I thought God would. If you're a Christian, he should. And then you can have fun naming them. You know, Casey and then Brick. Mary's mother still thinks I named her after my bird dog. We had a Brittany. Mary's mother was so upset with me. I said, Mom, we didn't name it after the dog. I do like Brittany's, but that isn't why we named her Brittany. And she just kind of frazzled, and she said, well, just thank God you didn't own a Weimaraner. And I said, besides that, Brittany's a good dog. I like that dog. Then we got John Hunter, Joshua Fisher, Jeremiah Trapper, Joel Archer. Yeah. Jessica Faith, Tony Colt, Michael Remington. Did I get them all? Oh, boy, I love it. I love it. Do you love children? No, you don't. Because you'd take $100 right now if I'd give it to you. But some of you are telling God right now, no, I don't want a child. You say, well, I can't afford one. It's not up to you to afford him anyway. God will provide what he orders. Always had and always will. So, addressed to fathers. The subject is children, but what about the children? Well, he deals here about how to bring up children. And the connotation there is that of nursing a child and bringing him to full maturity, literally to make him fat. I got that down. To make him fat, to mature them. And the Bible says the way you do that, in this piece of Scripture here, there's a warning and two sets of instructions. The warning is, do not provoke your children unto anger. How do you do that? How do you raise children and don't frustrate them and don't make them angry? Well, if you study the context of this text, you go back into chapter 5, Paul's talking about living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit. Dearly beloved, you raise godly kids by living in the Spirit. That's how you do it. It's a simple thing. It's what God calls you and I to do every day of our life. Live in the Spirit. Love those children. You just display the fruits of the Spirit in the home. You have that attitude of, you know, I read a quote the other day that a man says, men are more concerned about the pedigree of their dogs and horses than they are of their children. And you know what? I find that. You know what my biggest struggle was becoming a minister, being a pastor? You know what my biggest argument with God was? God, I've been around preachers' kids, and I don't want kids like that. Some of you have kids that are brats. And it's not their fault, it's your fault. Because you let them get by with something, and then that gives the rest of Christianity a bad name because you won't control and train your little child. You see, you go in here, do not provoke them to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture. Has a connotation here of training, of discipline. We had a poll before we begin here, and it was narrowed down to a few people. We talked about Kai Kerrigan helping, but said no. We talked about Captain Zorro helping because he doesn't believe you ought to ever get angry. And we finally settled on Dr. Bill Brown. Dr. Bill Brown, would you come help me, sir? I asked your boss and he said you would. That's all right. You got to come to Alaska to do it. You see, folks, what this is a Shabbat, a Rav. I want you to come right over here. Do you have pajamas on underneath here?
My dad's done this to me before, but I don't think you're him.
No, but I'm going to show them what your dad did.
Oh.
So I just need you to grab that right there, if you would. Okay. No, go ahead. Now help me. Help me. The Bible says, spare the rod and... It does not. Here are the future preachers of America. It does not say that. It says, if you spare the rod, you hate your son. There's a lot of difference. Dearly beloved, this should be a tool of training, a tool of love. Don't ever make that mistake again. You see, because, well, spoil the child. It's not, but there's a lot of difference between spoil the child and he that spares the rod hates his son. You see, God designed this. You take me about a 12-month-old or 14-month-old child, and I can house-proof the child. You see, we have a child. Oh, we got a child-proof the house. No, 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 no. You house-proof the child. That child reaches out to touch something. Bill, reach for that book there right there. Come on. Come on, Dr. Brown. Reach for the book. You see, you just say, come on. And you get the point. You see, that child reaches for something, and you just whack him. What? I mean, that doesn't hurt. Well, not much. And boy, now see, this is not abuse. This is not spanking. This is training. I deliberately put things out there that I knew the girls and boys would be attracted to. And I'd sit there on the couch for a training session. You know, if you like to hunt and fish, this is good. It's kind of like sitting in a duck blind. They'd reach up there and touch something, and I just, no. Do you realize how important that word is within the structure of the family? Folks, do you realize how important that word is within the structure of Christianity? God said no. Just no. So you're training that child. Now, I'm going to tell you something real quickly. If I had just had the first three children I had, I'd have been the most arrogant, egotistical guy that ever walked on raising kids because they were compliant children. I know you find that hard to believe, knowing Casey and Brittany, but they were, okay? They were a pretty compliant child. And then God gave me one just like me. We left him with some folks last night on our trip, and we found out that him and the older son got in a fight. But when I got to looking at it, he had a reason to. Now, he's going to get in trouble when he gets home, but if I was him, I'd done the same thing. And I'd taken a whipping for it, too. You know, there's some things, folks, worth whipping, I'm going to tell you right now. But when they get older, the loving discipline. Let me share something to you. What you do is you talk to the child. Say, hey, here's the standard. Here's the rules in the house. You broke the rules. Here's the consequences. You know what? Because we have a bunch of kids today who don't believe in consequences. And so, Dr. Brown, please help me here. I appreciate it. And you explain to the child. You tell the child that you love the child. But say, consequences always follow, just as when we break God's laws. Folk, you take everything back to God. Everything back to God. So when you act, you make sure you're acting in accordance with God. Discipline is not when you're angry. Discipline is for the future training of that child. And so you get that child. This is a what? This is not 3/16 inch? On little children, toddlers, this is probably the best to use. A little bitty rod like this. And okay, Dr. Brown, assume the position. Dr. Brown, you're being punished. Dr. Owens, could you ever imagine in your wildest imagination we'd have this opportunity? Dr. Brown, you're being punished for all those times in Alaska when Dr. Owens and I wanted to meet with you and you had a meeting to go to. And you left us there by our... No, they weren't. I also discipline very sternly for lying. Then you tell the child how many swats they're going to get. Normally, what I like to do is get them in their pajamas. You do have pajama bottoms on underneath that? Okay, okay. And the thing is, and you tell them, and then you just kind of, you know, do it. You know, the nice thing about a rod like this, beloved, is that if you've got the right rod, if you strike, get back up here. And you strike out of anger, you know, if you're just really mad, you know, see, it works. I was praying God would let me have one good whack before it broke. But see, it'll break. And so you're not going to damage the child. Well, very much. Someone said, well, I just don't want to leave a mark on my child. I said, well, you're going to leave a mark one way or another. One way or another, you're going to leave a mark. And thank you, Dr. Brown. They give him, and he did. I enjoyed that. But train these children. beloved. Because I'm here to tell you that the Bible says you train up a child in the way that he should go. When they are old, they will not depart from it. That's that training part. That's the discipline part. That's telling the child no and explaining to them what the boundaries are in your household. My children, I've taught them how to dial 911. If you can't take it, dial 911. The state will get you out of here. I show them how to pack a bag. If you want to run away, this is how you do it. And just, hey, you're free to go. But if you're going to live in my house, here is the conduct that I'm expecting of you. And Casey's right. I didn't raise them according to the dictates of the world. I raised them what God wanted. Because you know, in Malachi, we love that verse where it says that God hates divorce. But if you read a little bit further, he gives the reason why he hates divorce. Because he wants a godly seed. And further than that, future pastors, if you'll go over and look at the qualifications for a pastor in 1 Timothy, you'll see that it says you have to have your children in submission to you. Because if you do not know how to rule your own house, how can you take care of the house of God? If you can't handle a raving two-year-old, you'll never be able to handle the WMU. Can I say that? If you can't handle a teenager, you'll never be able to handle a deacon's meeting. You see, the very qualifications for being a pastor is wrapped up in the word father. If you know how to be a good father and you're called of God, dearly beloved, you'll be a great pastor. A great pastor. The other thing, the nurture, the admonition is simply teaching your children the things of God. The Old Testament in Deuteronomy, it says that you shall teach your children when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you sit at the table, when you walk by the path. Everything you do, you teach your children, this is what God said. You see, you can deal with the physical aspect. If you don't do this, I'm going to spank you. You can deal with the emotional aspect of this. If you don't do this, I'm going to ground you. But what you need to do is you need to deal with the spirit and ask the simple question, is this right before God? Casey used to get me in more trouble because I had a music man that didn't know any more theology than my bird dog. He has since left also. But he'd be teaching something because he is also a youth guy, and he'd say something about theology and Casey would correct him. Dr. Phil Roberts talked yesterday about the importance of theology. Men, you'll never know how to love your husband, love your wife unless you know how Christ loved the church. Ladies, you'll never know how to love your husband unless you understand how the church is to follow Jesus. And men, you'll never be the father you need to be until you know how God loves you. Dearly beloved, the towers have been attacked. And they're burning. I send you out to put out the fires and to rebuild the structure.